Praise the Lord. I want to move on that song because I think it's very pertinent to the word that God is bringing us, to know Him, to know Him, to know Him alone, to hear what He is saying. And I think it's very important that we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us as a people. I do not know that you have the same perception that I have, but we are standing at a jump-off place. And the thing that is going to determine which side of the door we are on when it closes is the fact of what it is that we choose. And if I choose the wrong thing, then I'm going to be on the outside of the door. And it is a matter of personal choice in a position of personal commitment. The Bible says that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our might. And that's the crutch of the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. Out of that comes love for your brethren, love for this or love for that. Without that position or that place of dedication, we're talking about a position of commitment. And God is asking us as a people to commit to a position, to a gospel, to a word. And it's very serious. This conference, it's not going to be like any other conference that you or I have ever attended before. And it's the culmination of several conferences that we have had that has led up to this point. So let us sing it again, if we may, with the thought of the seriousness of it. And really, if you have a difficulty in a relationship with the living God, then let it be a prayer. Let it be a request. Let it be a petition that you are putting before the Lord concerning what it will be at the end of the day from this point forward. It doesn't make any difference if you're old or you're in between or you're young. Hallelujah. Let's sing it. to thank you that you are so faithful to give us the word of life. You are so thankful, Father, you are so loving and kind to bring us instructions and to give us the means by which we might employ and take that which you have given to us and incorporate it within the actuality of our soul, that it might produce a light that is so bright, my God, that it dispels every darkness, that illuminates every crack and every corner, so that at the end of the day, Father, there is no shadow of turning. But it is totally, absolutely pure in its essence. And it gives forth a radiance that upon all that it falls, feels the refreshing, healing effect of it. My God, this is the place that we desire to be. So many things within our realm of humanity wants to distract us, wants to deter us, wants to move us off of that position or that place, wants to usurp, as it were, the position or the place of reverence and adoration and love that is in the capacity of the seed that you have planted within us. My God, we say, God, to that seed, live. Let it live to bring forth. May it press forth to bring forth the stem and the branch. May it produce the fruit that is living. Father, that all that partake of it might be blessed, might be revived, might have the spirit of resurrection imparted unto them. My God, we pray that you would bring us to that place, that you would help us in the development, in the growth of it, that we might be ever so aware of that which has been given unto us, and that we might handle it with care. My God, handle it in a way and a fashion that brings reverence to you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. There was a word that the Lord spoke to me many months ago. And I have wrestled with it. I have put it aside until here recently, when I got a letter from a dear sister. And she said that she felt to write a few scriptures. And the scripture she wrote me was the passage in the Bible that I had pushed aside. And I knew that the Lord was dealing with me in that aspect, and that it was something that I was going to be required of him to share with you. And it's been said in this conference by different ones that have ministered that we all preach above ourselves. Our preaching often reveals the lack within our own nature, reveals the fragility of our own personage, reveals the inability or the instabilities that we have concerning our position and relationship with Jesus Christ. Though I don't want you to misunderstand me, if I say you, I mean we. I mean me. Hallelujah. It is not something that I am coming to give to you because I think that you need it. Hallelujah. I think that what God brings and put on the plate is something that God is expecting all of us to eat. Hallelujah. There is also an awareness in me of the of the, I can't call it dissatisfaction. I think it would be more in the sense of grief. As I begin to contemplate God and the word that He has brought us as a people and what we have not done with it. Not only what we have not done with it as a people, but how we have utilized it to do something else other than what it was designed to do. I do not want you to think that I am picking on individuals. I do not want you to think that I am picking on any particular congregation. And this one in particular. Hallelujah. It would be foolish. It would be a waste of time. And I would be in error. The scope of God's word is bigger than this congregation. The intent of God's word is greater than what it is in the expectations that we might have as a people. Hallelujah. Because it isn't on the basis of what we think. It's not even on the basis of how we perceive something. It is on the basis of what is in God's mind from the very beginning, through the ages, up until this time frame, and into what we now call the time of the end. I personally believe that we have entered into the position and have crossed over the line from the sixth day to the seventh day. Now, somebody had said something earlier about a position or a place of transition. And that in itself is a position or a place of transition. I had a friend one time many years ago who has cut his teeth on this word. But somewhere along the line, he bought something that was not acceptable. And he began to preach another gospel. And he had a blog site. And the name of the title upon his blog site was Good News from a Happy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do not think that God is happy with us as a people. I don't know that happy is a word that I can use to describe the sense of sorrow that I feel in the spirit when I begin to go and to pray to God concerning the business of what we are calling church. Hallelujah. Perhaps I should go back a little bit. Last year, I call it the year of conferences. There were five conferences, I believe, that I attended, starting with the Illinois Conference, going into the Czech Conference, going into the Dubuque Conference, going into the November Conference in Schuyler, and culminating in the conference in Port Harcourt. I had the privilege of attending every one of those conferences. And I can say to you, as many of you might or might not witness as to the strength of the power that was here in this building last year. Amen. And the moving of the Spirit and the word of correction that God was bringing to us as a people. A word that many of us did not hear. Because we turned right around and we went right back out. And we began to do what we had been doing previously prior to the fact that God brought the word of correction. Now, Brother Gordon was so kind and so gracious to put those conferences on two CDs, I believe. And the series is called Prepare Ye the Way. Are you familiar with the scripture? It's found
in the last book of the Bible, of the Old Testament, and it deals with you and I. It doesn't deal with the church out there, if you want to call that thing a church. It deals with the holy place people. Now, I find it very interesting. Well, let me, before I say that, and that those messages crescendoed. Is that the right word? Build in intensity. Built it in intensity until it came to the Port Harcourt Conference. And it was a continuation. Now, you weren't at the Port Harcourt Conference, but you have the CDs if you want them. You have the ability to listen to them. The fact that you do not listen to them does not justify your position of ignorance concerning the word that God is bringing in this hour. Do you hear me? Now, I am not saying that you are ignorant, please. I am telling you that it does not justify the fact that you do not know what is in the mind of God. And therein lies part of our problem. We feel or think that in the aspect of what it is that we have, there is something of an insurance policy in the knowledge of it that will help us to maintain and to do what is in God's heart to do. It is not true. Hallelujah. You have to hear God. You have to know what it is that God is saying, and in what God is saying, there is a response that is required of us individually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? There is a response that is required of us individually. And I believe, you don't have to believe this way, praise the Lord, but what I believe, I am telling you, is by virtue of the Word of God that He is speaking to me. I believe at the close of last year and the aspect of the conferences that was making the Word available to the holy place church at large, there was something of a finality in a closing of a decade of ministry that was bringing us now to another level. Hallelujah. There are several words. In particular, one of the words that Brother Mark brought. Hallelujah. In choosing the house, whether you know it or not, you and I have been choosing a house. And now God is confronting us with the stark reality of that choice. Hallelujah. And giving us an opportunity in the aspect if the house we are choosing isn't the appropriate house. He's now giving us another, if not a final, opportunity to make the right decision. Hallelujah. I was in Ethiopia. And I don't know, the Ethiopian environment is one of, how do I put it, gross religion. Not only is it like religious in that aspect, but it has the capacity to swallow anything that gives any type of credit to God. It swallows it and assumes it and makes it a part of its operation. Hallelujah. And it was very distressing to me. Do you understand me? It was, maybe you don't understand my distress. That you bring a word that is to liberate the people, and the people, or there are peoples in the people, who want to take the word and use it to ensnare and secure their position of preeminence over the other people. Hallelujah. And you know, by the way, that's scriptural, you know. You know that scriptural? Do you know where it is? Romans, the 7th chapter. Using that which was ordained to life, to bring death. So was that which was ordained to life bad? God forbid. But that sin might be exceedingly sinful. Hallelujah. And it applies to every aspect of the revelation that God is bringing to us as a people. Hallelujah. And I was distressed. I was deeply distressed over it. And I went to God. And there was a funny thing. God took me into, I think it's in Ezekiel, the flying scroll. Ezekiel 24. Is that the right chapter? Hallelujah. If you have the time, I suggest you go read it. But what the Word of God said, what God said to me, is He said that this flying scroll would fly into the house of the thief. Zechariah 5. And that scroll was 10 by 20.
Yes.
What's 10 by 20?
Holy place.
Hallelujah. What is the holy place? He said it. The scroll would fly into the house of the thief, and there it would abide. But it was something that was active in its abiding. When you think of something abiding, you think maybe a passive. Like you lay something down in a house and there it abides. It just lays there. No, it said it shall consume. It shall consume all of the wood. It shall consume all of the stone. Hallelujah. So it is not so much in the visual. In the visual arena that one wants to look for the prospect of success. But it is in the actuality of what is in the Word of God concerning us as a people. Hallelujah. Now, the house of a thief is the house of anyone who takes something that is not theirs to have and tries to utilize it or possess it in a way that it is not designed to be used. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have this position or this place that God has brought us to as a people. And there has been a word that God has bringing to us. Do you know that in the culmination of the words that were coming last year in the Port Harcourt Conference, the final aspect of it was that if the church, the Holy Place Church, did not repent, God was bringing civil war. Hallelujah. Now there are some people here from Nigeria. And you can verify with them, but even as we were talking, there was trouble brewing in Nigeria. The Muslims up north were beginning to bomb churches, and they were beginning to shoot people and do all of the things that they wanted to do in order to turn over the Christian environment and make it into an environment that suits them. Now there was somebody that touched on it just briefly. Here again, I was in Ethiopia, and God said to me, He said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the end time. You know, there was someone that sent something to me here a while back. It was a year or so ago, I don't remember. And it was the demographics of population. Hallelujah. And when I say demographics, it was statistics. Can you imagine out of the millions and millions of people on the earth in the time of Noah, that only eight people. Hello? Are you there? Only eight people. Only eight people were left who were in a position that God called righteous. They had either been exterminated, or they had capitulated, and they had become a part of the mass that was now rising up to persecute them. And I cannot imagine the treatment that they must have treated Noah and his family with as they were building that ark. I don't suppose it was an easy job. Do you think it was easy, John? You think it was pleasant? Do you think it was without pain and suffering? Do you think it was without rejection? Now, do you think it was without some of the other things of that facilitate us in life? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I want you to turn with me tonight over into the 8th chapter of Isaiah. Hallelujah. 8 is the chapter, the number of new beginnings. And I don't know that I see in here and what is happening. Hallelujah. You know, for those of you that are study people, it would do you well to go in and to look at some of the history that was involved with regards to the characters that were playing the roles of this chapter. Hallelujah. So, now forgive my pronunciations of some of these words. It says, verse 1, "Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write it in it, with a man's pen concerning Mahalshalabah-Hasbah." I think I got it pretty close. Hallelujah. "And I took unto me a faithful witness to record it, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went into the prophetess," now this was his wife, they called the wife of the prophet the prophetess. Hallelujah. "I went into the prophetess and she conceived and bare a son, and then said the Lord to me, call his name Mahalshalabah-Hasbah. Now that name has a particular meaning. And being it was of direction of the Lord, it was a prophetic sign that God was giving to Israel in the aspect of the time frame that they are in. And what was going to transpire during the life of this child. Not during the life, but much in the beginning of the life of this child. You see, what I think is happening, and you don't have to believe me if you don't want to, time will tell. What I believe is happening in the move of God, that God is taking it out of our hands. Did you hear me? God is taking it out of our hands. You see, we are making certain decisions based on our current environment. You decide next week you're going to go someplace on the basis of your current environment. You do it on the basis of the money you have in your bank. You do it on the basis of the ease that you have to travel. You have to do it on the basis of what it is that you like to do and have the privilege of doing. We make decisions on the basis of our current environment. If we want to go on to Florida, we go down and we buy a ticket, we get on the plane, we fly to Florida. Because your current environment allows you to do that. And you as a person feel, because of your current environment and your position or privilege as being an individual, you have the right to do what it is that you want to do. And we make the decision and then we do it. God is going to change our environments. When I was in Africa, I'm not quite sure where I was. Hallelujah. But as I was in Africa, it was Ethiopia again. My goodness. Not this time, but the time before. The time before that, I don't remember. But the wave of violence started down there below Egypt. What is it? Tanzania. Tunisia. Yeah, Tunisia. It went from Tunisia to Egypt. I'm sure you're aware of what's happened with Egypt, right? Well, they were plotting democracy. They were pushing democracy. They were supporting the rebellion on the basis of democracy. Do we have democracy? What do we have? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The whole scenario of Africa is on the basis of solidifying an Islamic continent. Hello? Now, you think Africa over there. Huh? You think Africa over there. Look around you. Look around you. Like I said, I was looking at some demographic information about population growth. What it takes to sustain a civilization. Did any of you see that? It came in the email. What was it? 2.8 or 2.9 children per family to sustain. That's not growth. That is just to sustain. Hallelujah. That's just to maintain your position. Now remember, I'm talking to you about the days of Noah. Before they took Gaddafi out three or four or five years ago, Gaddafi made a very interesting statement. He said, in 10 years, the EU will be all Islamic. And we will not have even fired a shot.
Right.
Gaddafi said that. But you see, somehow or another, Gaddafi was not lining up with the agenda of the Islamic platform. Maybe he was too rich. Maybe he was too predominant. Maybe he was too independent. I don't know. But it was to their advantage, and the world was applauding it. I didn't see many tears shed or hear many words of remorse when they flashed Gaddafi's picture on the television or plastered it all over the paper. In fact, I heard one man say, well, he got what he deserved. As bad as Gaddafi was, and as wicked as the man was, Gaddafi was serving a purpose. Hello? He was stopping this plan. He was stopping this plot of this one continent thought of government. Hello? Hallelujah. Now, what was the first thing that the president...
He supported it.
Yes, I'm not talking about that president. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the president there. What was the first thing he demanded of Egypt? He wanted us to free. Huh? Known terrorists that tried to bomb the World Trade Center. Oh my, all this attention. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. I was in Ethiopia when the violence broke out in Tunisia, right? All right. Praise the Lord, whatever. That little country. Hallelujah. It spread to Egypt. It went from Egypt to Libya, didn't it? It went from Egypt to Libya, and then it jumped from Libya to Syria. Now, it's interesting that we are now that Syria is now contending for its position of dominance between the monarchy, or the ruler of it, and this Islamic Brotherhood. Hello, are you there? Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. And that this eighth chapter deals with the agent that God was using to chastise Israel. Hallelujah. My goodness. Hallelujah. I don't want you falling asleep on me. You don't have to say amen. You can probably say, oh me, or oh woe is I. But I don't want you falling asleep on me. Hallelujah. Because there is something that is happening, brethren. Now, in all of that is happening, at the end of the day, as we close out this conference, there is going to be something that God is going to put into motion. Mark me well. If I had a reputation, I'd probably be putting it on the line this morning, or this evening. But being as I don't have a reputation, I don't have to worry about it. Hallelujah. He's putting into motion. That means he's giving the authority to loose something. Hello? And what he is going to loose is the spirit of persecution against you. Now, it may manifest itself in other means or in other ways, but it is going to be coming against you and me because of where it is that we stand and what it is that we believe. If I were to ask you, what is the point of what it is that you believe? Now, I've heard much about what it is that we believe in the different aspects of it, but at the end of the day, what is it that we believe? Where is it that our gospel is supposed to be taking us? Is the day any different in that objective than it was when we heard it 30-some, 40-some, 50-some years ago? Absolutely not. There is great tribulation. I know you don't want to hear it. You really don't want to hear it. You want to be able to have the liberty to grow, to do, to be comfortable, to feel secure. And all of the things that we have been accustomed to in the environment in which we are living. Mark my word. That's going to change. Not next year. This year, it's going to begin to change. The rules and the motion that God is liberating as far as the spiritual realm is concerned are going to begin to activate. That spirit of Antichrist, do you hear me? The spirit of Antichrist that has laid hidden, that has been in a dormant position, gaining strength, gaining an ability, gaining the necessary vitality to try to do that final push in the final hour of humanity. Hello? Do you not remember that when you heard, maybe you didn't hear what I heard, but I think that you did, that there was great tribulation coming? Did you hear that? Tribulation such as the world has never known. Have you heard that? Wasn't that going to be that there was going to rise up a spirit of Antichrist that was going to what? Not only annihilate and wipe out Christianity, but it was a spirit that wanted to destroy the world. Am I the only one who heard that? Did you hear it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. The whole point of the gospel that we have been given is not just to make you a good person. It's not just to give you the ability to get into heaven. The whole point of the position or the word that has been given to us was to move us out of a natural low realm. Brother Dusiel used to call it low bite. It's that stuff that grows up out of the ground about an inch or an inch and a half. And when the animals eat it, they not only eat the grass, but they eat the dirt. It's low bite. Hallelujah. But we have not been given a gospel, and the expectation of God concerning the gospel that He has given you is not that you just be a good person. Hallelujah. But you are a person that moves with an authority to not only overcome the darkness that is in your soul, but you are overcoming the darkness that is in your environment. Isaiah chapter 20. Huh? It says what? Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has what? On who? On you. But if we are to be this people, there are certain decisions that I have to make as a person that qualifies me to be in that place. Brother Chijoke was very good at listing several of those things that pertain to the position or the place of that calling and election. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have the word of God to the prophet. Now, brethren, one thing I do know about prophecy, it never dies.
Amen.
The other thing I know about prophecy, it's never history.
Amen.
Prophecy is always pertinent. Prophecy is always now. Prophecy is always working to come to a position or a place of fullness. Hallelujah. And so when God begins to prophesy something to Israel on the natural plane, hallelujah, there is a spiritual reality that God is pinpointing for a people at a particular time. Hallelujah. You know, that prophet could have just as well done now what he's doing then. And he did it in a place called Israel, which is so far away from us. But when you begin to look at the spiritual context, hello, take it out of the natural, move it into the spiritual. You know, you are created as a three-dimensional being. Did you hear me? You're created as a three-dimensional being. Now, three dimensions is not just spirit, soul, and body. That means that there is a natural plane in which you move and find your being. There is a spiritual plane that you move with that natural realm simultaneously. Hello? And in the moving of that, you have the position or the place to facilitate the fullness. You're a three-dimensional being that was not created to walk streets of gold and play harps. You are a three-dimensional being that was created to move with God in the authority of God to overcome not only the darkness that is within you, but the darkness that is around you.
Amen.
It says, when the brightness of the rising of God that is upon you, hello? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It will illuminate your darkness. Huh? Chapter 60, verse 1.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can just as clearly hear Brother Dusiel say, you are called to be saviors. You are called to be saviors. And we spend our time low bite.
Yeah.
We spend our time grubbing. We spend our time arguing positions of theology. We spend our time patting ourselves on the back for whatever good that we're doing. Huh? Hallelujah. We don't spend our time following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. If we are to be like Christ, we must follow in His footsteps. Hello? He was a man of sorrows. What are some of the other descriptions of Him?
Acquainted.
Hello? We want to try to get as far away from grief as we possibly can. Hallelujah. And you know, nobody in their right mind. Nobody in their right mind. That's why you have to be out of your mind. Nobody in their right mind wants to embrace something that's going to stick them. Nobody wants to have the pain, the suffering, the isolation, the rejection. Nobody wants any of that position. Nobody wants any of that discomfort. And we do many things to eliminate it. We compromise. We compromise. And when you compromise, it's not just you give a little bit, you destroy. I destroy the essence of light that is in me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And it is very difficult to reestablish that position or that place of light. Hallelujah. And it's not only that, brethren, but as I destroy the potential of my God-likeness. Hallelujah. You know, there's really something very interesting about this. You were created to be like God. You know, there's something in the composition that God did when He made Adam and breathed into him. Do you understand? The Bible has a very strict principle. It must bring out after its own kind. Do you understand me?
Jesus.
If it is not of like kind, it cannot produce the reality of what it was that made it. Hello? He reiterates it when He creates the bushes and the trees and the rocks and all of the things that He made. He reiterates it when He made the birds of the heaven and the fish in the sea. He reiterates it again and again and again to establish the fact that the reality of Him is programmed within the makeup of our being that gives us the ability to be like Him. And I don't know what it is. I'm not a medical person. But what I know, my spiritual principle is that when I receive the blood, that agent in me is activated.
Yes.
Is that possible? I mean, is that possible? Not just the aspect of my believing in the blood of Jesus Christ, something genetically happens in my body. Hallelujah. It has to be that way, brethren. But we don't believe it. We believe this.
Hallelujah.
We cut it, it bleeds. We hit it, it bruises. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. I was in Ethiopia again. Huh? Been in Ethiopia a lot lately. Huh? And I fell down. Devil tried to kill me. And I hit the cement with my head. I didn't hit it with my hand. I didn't hit it with my shoulder. I hit it with my head. Hallelujah. And I'm laying there. My world is going like this. Barak was with me at the time. He came over to help me up. I said, Barak, pray for me. I said, Barak, pray for me. Barak reached down his hand. He took my hand and he began to pray for me right there in the middle of the street.
Hallelujah.
And he prayed, God, lift him up. Heal his head. Father, make no, there will be no after effect. There will be no things that happen on down the road. Hallelujah. You hear me? He helped me up. I didn't get up staggering. I got up. Hallelujah. Now he was holding on to me. I guess he was afraid I was going to fall down again. And I went into the house. They doctored me up. I was bleeding and all that. And I went to bed. Hallelujah. I got up in the... No bruise.
Hallelujah.
No bruise. No bruise. No black eye. You understand? I mean, I hit my head hard. Hallelujah. No bruise. No after effect. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, that brings up another point. I was in Sierra Leone. I was in Sister Geraldine's house. Hallelujah. If you want a visitation, go see Sister Geraldine. Hallelujah. Strange things happen in Sierra Leone in Sister's house. Hallelujah. And I am down here at the table. This was in 2010, I believe. I'm down there at the table. I got my computer open and I'm trying to get online. And I get an email and it says, David Wilkerson is dead. And I said, that can't be right. And I read it again. And I don't know whether I went online to find out the reality or if I called somebody. I think I called somebody. Did I call somebody? Yes, I called somebody. I said, it says here David Wilkerson is dead. And they said, yes, he did. And they told me how he died. Hallelujah. I hung up the phone, and I no more got the phone down, and the devil was right there. Now, I don't know what the devil has in that he always thinks he wants to talk to me. But the devil was right there. Now, in Sister Geraldine's home, there is this big sofa, and I'm sitting there, and she has a coffee table, right? It's right out there in the front. My computer's on the coffee table. Devil walks right in, and he sits down on the coffee table. And he's facing me. And he points his finger in my face. And he says to me, if you keep on doing what you are doing, if you keep on preaching what you are preaching, I will kill you like I killed David Wilkerson. I couldn't rebuke him. By the time I thought about it, he was gone. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. You know, we think a thought about somebody, and that thought is negative, that's our thought. We think because we say something about somebody that's negative, that it's just between you and that person that you're talking to. What you do not understand is the spiritual reality of the environment that is around you. And not only do you have that host of heaven there, but there are spirits that are waiting for you to say the right words. Did you hear me? They are waiting for you to say the right words. And sometimes it's not about somebody else. Sometimes it's just about you. Oh, I feel so miserable today. Huh? Have you ever said that? You get up, oh, I feel so miserable. And before you know it, you're more miserable. And you're feeling worse and worse and worse and worse. And the worse that you feel, the more you moan about it. Or at least the more I complain about it. Hello? And the more I complain about it, the worse it gets. Hallelujah. When we went to Ethiopia this time, we no more and got off the plane, and all hell broke loose. The devil didn't even wait for us to get into bed. Everything that you possibly could think of that could go wrong was going wrong. Everything that you possibly could think of as far as ache or pain was hurting. Not was just us, but everybody around us. People were getting sick. The cars were breaking down. This was happening. Electricity would go off. The toilet would stop working. The bathtub had to be ripped out and pulled up. And we didn't have water for 3 or 4 days. Everything you possibly can think of was going wrong and having to battle spirits day and night. Hallelujah. One day, I believe it was about 10 days into our visit, I said to my wife, I woke up and I said, "You know something, Nancy?" I said it before I even got out of the bed. I said, the devil is not going to drive us out of this house.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The devil is not going to drive us out of Ethiopia. Yeah.
Amen.
And you know, it broke something.
Hallelujah.
It broke something in the spirit.
Yeah.
Now, not that we didn't still have tribulation. Not that we weren't still having to walk through different circumstances and situations. And it wasn't just us. Brother Jamal had a wound on his leg that was very bad. And it was getting worse. It was not healing. Hello? His little girl was smitten. They had to take her to the hospital. Brother Ficky's little daughter was smitten. They had to take her to the hospital. Hallelujah. His wife was falling ill with some sort of malady that she was battling. Day in, day out, until the proclamation was made. And when the proclamation was made, things began to clear up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In one day, Jamel walks into, Brother Jamel, he's so cute. Hallelujah. He's just a little guy, full of energy. He walks in one day, and he looks at us, and he's standing there, looking at us as though he's saying, and he says, "Do you not notice something?" And we look at him, you know, what are we going to see? What are we supposed to know? He says, "I'm wearing a shoe."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He had to wear sandals for 8 months because of the wound that was on his leg. And he says, "Look." And he hits it like this. The man was healed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He was healed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We do not understand the spiritual environment in which we are in and the things that we perpetrate. Now, brethren, do you know that the devil is able even to read your thoughts at a certain level?
Yes.
If you are in the spirit, if you are meditating upon God, it blocks the devil. I'm telling you a spiritual principle. It blocks the devil. The devil can't get into your brain. Because there's something of a light that in your thinking, in your meditation, begins to radiate out, and the devil can't take that. Did you hear me? It's scriptural. It's a scriptural principle. It says that the darkness does not want light. John chapter 3. It does not want light. What the devil wants is darkness.
Right.
Hello? What the devil wants is darkness. He needs your darkness. He needs my darkness. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something about darkness? I one day was asking God about this darkness thing. And I wanted to know, how does it work? And God says it has a latent power. You know what I mean by latent power? What do you think when I say latent? Something that lies within it that is not active or utilized for one reason or another, but it's in it. And I was saying to him, now, you know, I'm not really very smart. And I said, "What do you mean, God, by latent?" He said, "It is like water." And I said, "What do you mean by water?" He says, "Water has a latent power in it. And I said, okay, that sounds like Greek to me. I suppose you may have understood it. He says, well, it has energy in it. I said, what do you mean energy? He says, run water through a generator, and what does it produce? Electricity. So there is a latent power in the water that produces, that makes the generator do what the generator is supposed to do. And out of the generator comes electricity to light your house. God says, darkness is in the same aspect. It needs a generator. But it needs a special type of generator. Listen to me, brethren. It needs a special type of generator. It needs a generator that has the potential of God-like capacity. Did you hear me? It takes a God-like capacity in the thing to generate the power or utilize the power that is in the darkness. And the devil, the angel, has no capacity. Do you hear me? He does have no capacity to be like God.
Hallelujah.
The devil has no capacity, brethren, to be like God.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. So he needs man in the darkness in order to manipulate or utilize the capacity of wickedness that is in the darkness. Come on, the devil gave himself away. When he said to the Eve, ye shall be like gods. Did you hear me? The devil knew the potential. The devil knew the reality of the fact of the darkness that was in man. And he knew that he needed man in a position or place to be able to utilize that power of darkness to build his kingdom. Hallelujah. You know, God submitted man to darkness. Do you know that? Why?
Hope.
Huh?
Hope.
Hope of what? Overcoming the darkness. The thing that makes you like God is the ability to choose to be like God.
Amen.
In your thinking, in your action. Everything in this world is designed to push you to think in a negative manner. Everything in this world is designed to push and to promote you in the place of darkness. Your relationships with people, your relationships with the world, your relationships over here, over there, over here, this, life, everything, work, and all of the things is designed for one purpose alone, and that's to promote darkness. As long as the devil can keep you in darkness, he can utilize your darkness for his purpose. Without your darkness, he's nothing. Hello? Without your darkness, he is nothing. Hallelujah. But the devil wants you to think he's this big bad guy. He's strong, he's big, he's invincible. You can't overcome him. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. So we have the prophet prophesying, chapter 8. And so he went in and he went into the prophetess, and she conceived and she bare this child. And that name means swift to the booty, swift to the booty, or swift to come. It really means swift to the prey. The grasping hold of it. Now it says before the child shall have the knowledge to cry. When do my father, my mother? When do children start talking? How old? Two, three?
2 years.
That's what the time frame that God was giving the people of Israel to know the reality of the judgment that was coming upon him, coming upon the people. Now, why was God judging the people? Why was he bringing this calamity down on him? Well, if you're Bible students, you can go into the Bible in many different places. God used the nations around Israel to bring them into a place of captivity, to chastise them for their rebellion. Hallelujah. And now, why? It says, "For the Lord spake unto me, saying again, for as much as this people refuses the water of Shiloah, that goes softly and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son. Therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them the waters of a river, strong and mighty, even the king of Assyria and all of his glories. He shall come up over all of his channels and go over all of his banks." God used the circumstances of Syria to chastise Israel for their rebellion. Many times in the scriptures, when the people of God rebelled, God used the nations around them to bring them into captivity, to capture them, to send them off to different lands. He says, "I will scatter them."
That's the river Euphrates.
That's the river Euphrates, by the way, out of which he says there are coming four spirits.
Yeah.
Evil spirits. Hallelujah. Now, the pool that they're talking about here, now you know Jerusalem had gates, right? Hallelujah. The city had gates. Well, there was a gate called the Water Gate. Now, that's not what happened down there in Florida. It was the Water Gate. And behind this gate, there was this pool called Siloah. And it was the king's pool in the king's garden. This is where the king would come and he would be able to do whatever he was doing, relax or partake or do whatever. Praise the Lord. But it was a symbolic of the position or the place of the relationship with God. Now, if you want to put this into our time frame, there is a position or a place of relationship that we have with a particular word. You know, I find it very interesting. I don't know, a lot of you I haven't seen for many long times. Hallelujah. But you're here at this conference. Hallelujah. I think that's significant. You know, there's something of an invitation that somebody was touching on earlier today concerning the three categories or the three levels of invitation. Was that Brother Jokes, I think? Huh? Brother Mark?
Yes.
All right, Brother Mark. Praise the Lord. And there is something that God is saying in all of it. Now let me jump back to Africa, if I might. As I was looking at all of this violence that was breaking out, God said to me, this tsunami wave of violence. Now, when I looked at it, it really didn't look like a tsunami wave of violence. You know what I mean? Little place like Egypt, little place like Libya, huh? Kind of isolated, off there somewhere by itself. But God wasn't looking at the beginning of it. God was not looking at the beginning of it. God was looking at the fruition of the thing coming to a position, to a place of fullness. That's what God was looking at. And he called it a tsunami wave. And he said to me, this tsunami wave that is spreading across Africa, hallelujah, Syria had not yet happened. It was in the process. There was the rumblings. Hallelujah. It had not yet happened. He said, it's going to jump. Did you hear me? He said, it's going to jump from Africa to Europe. Hallelujah. Not too much longer after that, I was in Europe. I was in Prague at the Prague Fellowship. I was sharing with them this thing that God had been speaking to me concerning that tsunami wave of violence. Even as I was speaking to them on that Sunday morning, hallelujah, guess what happened? London was burning. Do you remember? Oh, you would, yes. I don't know that there was much written up in the paper here about it. But it was total chaos. And not only was it in London, but it was spreading out to other cities. And brother, one of the things they didn't tell you, it was well orchestrated. That there were ringleaders in different places, and they were keeping in contact with their cell phones. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said it's going to go from Europe. Not only that, but just before I got to Europe, there was that man in Norway that mowed down those 70 or 90 kids. Just got up and mowed them down. Hallelujah. With a machine gun. It's just a foretaste. You know, God allows certain things to substantiate His Word. And then He sits back and He waits to see what you will do with it. He wants to know if it will activate you. Hallelujah. And then He told me, not only will it go through to Europe, but it's going to come to the United States. Now, I thought it very interesting, and I believe that it was God, hallelujah, that in Nigeria, there was a word about civil unrest and civil war. You know what civil war is? It's the people. Well, yes, but they rise up against the governmental authority, the people. They say it's like a mass hysteria of people that rise up to come against the oppression of the government that is over them. Hallelujah. Well, at the same time that I was in Europe, and shortly thereafter, we begin to see this thing they call the Occupy. Occupy, but it was more than that. It was a test. And I don't know that you as a spiritual people perceived it. It was a test. It was a little testing of the waters to see the result. It was not only in Wall Street, it was in Oakland. And it started getting violent. Huh? It started getting violent. Do any of you remember Watts? Huh? Do any of you remember Watts? Hallelujah. That Watts, as bad as it was, is not a drop in the bucket as to what is being planned. There are segments of people that have been planted in the United States. Hallelujah. God showed it to me on a map as a darkness. He showed me a map of the United States, and there was darkness in different places. Some of it was down there in Houston. And some of it was in New York. Some of it was in San Francisco. And some of it was up in Portland. And some of it was in Spokane. And then some faraway places. You go into Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, and he showed me these little clusters of darkness. Now, why Montana? I don't know, except for it's isolated. And you can probably do whatever it is that you want to do without too much recognition. Hallelujah. But these were cells that had been established. I think they call them sleepers. Sleeper cells. They are a part of the society that integrate themselves into society and become, as it were, a part of the society. And they could be your neighbor. Smiling to you when you walk out the door. Waving at you, saying, "Hi, neighbor." Huh? How are you doing today? Oh, good. That's great. Keep on. We'll see you later. How about dinner tonight? How about a barbecue in the backyard? Huh? Hallelujah. Brethren, we are talking about a mentality that is devoid of godness.
Yeah, that's right.
You cannot tell me that a woman that straps dynamite upon her child of 5 or 6 and sends them into a place and pushes a button. Sometimes, I mean, yes, the mom or the dad. Hallelujah. Did you read in the paper the other day where that man took out his wrath on his daughter because she was not behaving? Huh? What does it take to shake us? What does it take to shake us and to make us awake? We are supposed to have a position, a place of authority to rise up to push this darkness back. You have been called not to go to heaven, brethren. God bless us. You've been called as saviors to save. Hallelujah. Revelation is very clear. 7 times, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my Father's throne. To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the house of God. To him that I overcometh I will not blot his name out of the book of life. I will give him a white raiment, and I will confess his name to my Father. This speaks of a position or a place of authority. We seem to have lost the objective. We seem to have lost the objective. And God is now giving us this opportunity. Hallelujah. I don't necessarily expect a mass rush to the altar, but my God, we have to begin to at least examine ourselves in a spirit of honesty. Not justification, not vindication, not in the aspect of trying to prove that it is that we are something that we are not. Let's admit it. Paul had the revelation. I know that there is no good thing that dwelleth in my flesh. And the Bible says if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. That means if you don't judge yourself, if I don't judge myself, if I don't recognize the fallacy and the fragility and the position of my humanity, if I do not recognize it and repent of it, then God is going to bring a circumstance on me to press me to a place that I begin to cry out to Him. Where were you when God came to you in the beginning? I know where I was. I was down in the gutter. Self-destructive. Yep. Hallelujah. Yes. Suicidal. Do you hear me? Steeped in sin. Hallelujah. My desperation at my circumstance made me get down on my knees. Yeah. And to ask a living God to come into my soul. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I have been presumptuous. Hallelujah. I have been arrogant in my aspect of my knowledge and in the position of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is something of a demand that God puts on me. In that respect, I must recognize my condition. I must recognize my position of futility and my inability to perform or to do what it is. I must recognize it. It must ever be before me. Hallelujah. I must be in a position to know that if I do not do what I need to do, hallelujah, I will not receive. My God. You know, we do not fear God. We do not fear God. We do not fear God. We don't fear Him. He's some person out there, like a big teddy bear. We do not fear God. God is going to restore the fear of God back to the church. It is not going to be because I said it. Not going to be because I am so right. But God is going to establish Himself as an authority. And that judgment can be used to bless me. Or that judgment can be used to chastise me. We had to work. And brethren, it's not going to be years down the road. We had to work in a particular place. And there was a man who was a key man. And the man decided one day he was not going to obey God. But he was going to do what it was he wanted to do. And what he wanted to do was going to destroy the work of God. It was going to interfere in the God's business. Man got up to preach. Hallelujah. He preached his sermon. He went to bed. He died.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, it was just happening. No. No happen chance about it. God stepped in. God stepped in. Do you think the God in the day of Ananias and Sapphira is any less a God today than He was then?
Hallelujah.
And do you think that if we think that we can fool God with all of our shenanigans and all of our religious talk and all of our going to church and paying our tithes and being dutiful in the things we do, and in our heart we are being rebellious, and in our heart there is something stirring, and in our heart there is the capability of destroying the work of God.
Hallelujah.
Do you think God is going to wink at it?
No.
God would have to repent. Did you hear me? God would have to repent for Ananias. God would have to repent for Sapphira. Hallelujah. We don't believe that God is inside of our brain. We do not believe that God is hearing our thoughts when we think things that are not appropriate. God is out there somewhere. Or somebody rises up and treats us despicably. We don't pray for them. Why should you pray? For their sake? No. You're praying to save your soul. You're praying to save your life. You're praying to bring back the righteousness of God into your being. Hallelujah. So at the end of the day, when I stand before God, He won't say, I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know you. Hallelujah. Serious business. Serious business. Serious business. And if I remain in my position of stiff-neckedness, hard-heartedness, in my position of macho personality, if I want to maintain my obnoxious behavior and my obnoxious thinking, God will push me aside. Put me aside. You know, brethren, we are going out to people, and those people are saying to me, tell us more about your God. Did you hear me? Tell us more. He said, one man said to me, we have never heard anything like what you are telling us. I'm telling them about the tabernacle. The simplicity of the brazen altar, the brazen laver, the golden candlestick, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, the Ark of the Covenant. One man said, you know, there are many people coming into Ethiopia. Many people. He says there's all kinds of NGOs. There's all kinds of literature pouring into Ethiopia. And he said, but when I heard your word, he said, I had to go back to God. I appreciated the man's honesty. And I had to pray, God, did you send these people? Did you send this word? That night, God gave him a dream. For you, those of you who have trouble with dreams. God gave the man a dream. And in the dream, he sees seven golden gates with golden doors, and the doors are open, and he looks through the door and he sees this lush green high grass. He says, they don't have grass like that in Ethiopia. I told him it wasn't Ethiopia. I said, you were seeing heaven. Hallelujah. And you were seeing the food. Hallelujah. And he said, it was a couple of days later. He was coming to every meeting, by the way. He said, a couple of days later, there was a message that was coming. And the message was on the seven messages to the seven churches. And as the message was beginning to come, God says, these are the gates. Hallelujah. These are the gates. Amen. That means God put his stamp of approval on the man to hear what it was that we were preaching to him. And we were not preaching anything but tabernacle. Never have we heard anything like this, he said. Hallelujah. I went to another place where it's an orphanage. Have many children. And one day Jamal was sitting in my living room and I said, Jamal, I want to go to that orphanage over there. Do you know anybody in that orphanage? Jamal knows everybody. Hallelujah. Jamal knows anybody and everybody. Hallelujah. And he says, oh yes, I have a friend there. And I said, good, call him up. See if I can get in. He called him up. And the man said, why does he want to come? It's a valid question. Why does he want to come? And I said to Jamal, tell him I want to tell him and the children about a living reality with a living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the man said, okay, I'll call you back. Not 5 minutes. Phone ring. And the guy says, come. So we went. And when we got there, the director came out and he brought me into his office. And he says, you know, you are here for one reason and one reason and all. And I said, what is that? He says, because you are an answer to prayer. Come on. I'm sitting there. I said, really? I'm an answer to prayer? You know, kind of want to look around, you know. Huh? I'm an answer. He said, yes. What you said, in exactly the same words, is what the student body came to me just a few days before, saying that they wanted to have this experience with God. Hello? Are you there? Hallelujah. We went into this auditorium, I say 100, you would have had a fine time, Peter. 125, 130, maybe 150 kids. Ages from 6 to 18. We got 2 days of meetings with them. Hallelujah. After the last meeting, I mean, it was hard, tough. You think you guys are, you're stoic and you just kind of sit there like bumps on a log. These guys got you beat. The man comes to me after the meeting. He said to me, when are you coming back? I said, I'm praying about coming back in September. He says, well, you must. He didn't say, please come. He says, you must. You must come back here. You must come back here. He says, what I will do is I will get all of the youth leaders. I will gather them together. And you can teach them this word. Yes. Hallelujah! Yes. You can teach them this word. Yes. Hallelujah. There was one older boy, he was probably a teenager somewhere. He had an old ragged shirt on, you know, and he was in every meeting up there in the front, sitting there like this. Just listening. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? God is going out to a people at the end of the day to replenish. He says that he's going to the highways and byways. Wasn't that your word?
Yep.
Hallelujah. We see it. Brethren, it's a serious time we are living in. And the trouble in our economy, the trouble in our political arena, the trouble in our way of living is going to begin to escalate. It's going to build, and it's going to build. And you will see much more violence. Much more violence. Do you know the worst thing about the Colorado fires? It was that there was a group of hoodlums, I think 24 or 25 of them. They were going into the burned out area. They were going into homes that were not touched by the fire. And they were completely destroying them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the mentality? Come on, brethren. Because it didn't happen here. There is a mentality. There is a mentality. There's an anti-Christ mentality. They cut the furniture. They smashed all of the appliance. They took food out of the refrigerator and threw it down on the floor and messed it around on the floor, messed it around on the wall. Totally trash the home. Can you imagine coming home? Can you imagine coming home and seeing your house? It's safe. Oh, praise the Lord. Right? Going inside. What kind of mind? Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Yeah.
What kind of mind? What kind of mind? Do you know in London that they were stripping people naked on the street? Can you imagine that? Walking down the street and all of a sudden you are mobbed by a group of people who begin to rip your clothes off. They don't want the clothes. What kind of mind? What kind of mind? And because you do not think it's not happening in your environment, you do not think it is pertinent. I don't know if we even can begin to recall the horror and the sense of hurt that happened when we saw those planes fly into those buildings. I don't know what... I saw it on TV. Something in here. And yet it's something relegated to the past. We hardly even think about it anymore. As a whole, as a people. Oh, they're fighting over the monument and blah, 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 blah. What is it that is going to take to wake us up? It's going to take tribulation. Tribulation. It's not religious exercise. It's a position of personal relationship with Christ and God digging down into the very depths of my being, discovering all of the darkness that is within me, and I'm repenting, 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 in a continual state of repentance. When I think Paul said, pray without ceasing, I think that's what he meant. It's a continual state of repentance. Knowing the propensity of my being to move contrary to righteousness, my thinking. My God. Hallelujah. I have to find my place in the body. I have to find it. Do you hear me? Knock. We always put that into the provisional clause of serving God. Knock and it shall be open. Huh? Seek and you shall find. Huh? We always put that in the provisional clause. Oh, we're Christians. We can have this and we can have that. All we got to do is knock, seek, and find. Huh? Knock, knock, seek, find God. Knock on God's door, seeking to find God when He opens the door. Hallelujah. And when we find Him, grasp hold of Him and hold Him with every bit of strength that we have. Like the woman who knew she was dead unless she touched the hem of God's garment. Hallelujah. We have to be of the like mind. We have to be of like tenacity. We have to be of like character. We have to know that we need God. Hallelujah. God bless you.
I'm just going to add a very brief little witness to something Bert was saying. We have a building in Schenectady, New York, where we gather together. About 3 blocks from our building, maybe 4, very close, as we're coming in off the interstate bypass, we have to come right past this place. It used to be a Pentecostal church. The Pentecostals moved out, sold it, and the Islamics bought it. And I was in the building one time, back when it was a Pentecostal church. They put a sign up that said Afghan Islamic Center. That sign stayed up for years and years. And about a year ago, the name changed and the word Afghan was removed. They redid the whole front of the building. They made it their nice brown look, whatever, desert look, you know, and put their little round doorway and, you know, those little symbols on it. And that went on for quite a while. There was a big school that was just across the street from them, and some vandals went in and lit a fire there, and the city came and just tore the whole school right down. It was unused. It was a big pile of brick, cleared it up. And I noticed on certain days of the week, I forget what days it was, it became a parking center for anybody that wanted to park there, and they would be having their holidays and running around with their long robes and this type of thing, and the place would be full of cars. Full. I mean a big lot. Sunday, as Rita and I were coming into the building, we were the first ones there. My hands were full of bags and things that I carry on Sunday morning. And there was a white piece of paper laying down by the bottom step. I said to Rita, Rita, see what that paper is doing here. You know, who's throwing trash around here? She picked it up and brought it in the building, and I looked at it. And apparently it was a little flyer that was passed out to every house in I don't know how far a neighborhood. But a little flyer that said, do you remember what it said? It said, get to know your Islamic neighbors. We're having a barbecue down at the park Sunday morning, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. or something like that. Free barbecue. Get to know us. And what they're saying is, look, hey, we're good neighbors, you know, we're just peaceful people. Why don't you come along, you get a free meal? And I'm thinking, my goodness, I wonder how many people are going to buy this. How many people are going down there for a free barbecue to find out what good neighbors they are? A lot of deception coming, brethren. I just want to tell you, it's getting closer. God bless you.
Well, I'm sure that we are all going to be experiencing certain things in our lives that we haven't seen before. You know, we could go through experience upon experience of the things that are coming and have been coming for a long time. I read in a paper that Dearborn, Michigan, you know where it is, right? It has the largest Islamic population in the United States. And they have an Arabic celebration sometime in the last of June. And this year, there's some Christian group that goes out to proselytize and to talk to them about Jesus. Well, they started throwing rocks and bottles at him this year. And the police were arresting the Christians for causing a disturbance. I mean, there was such filth and vileness. So, and it shouldn't. Listen, it's happening around here. When I go into Danville on Sunday, I have to erase all the Arabic off the blackboard. The Qurans and the Imams. And I'll tell you that when the Imams come into prison, they pay them. They pay them a stipend. The state pays them. The federal prison has them. And I've been standing in there, and you see the hate speech going on. I mean, jihad, jihad, jihad. It's all there. So, I mean, we really need to be like Bereans. The solution to our dilemma is to get into Christ and get Christ in you. You know, we really need to evaluate. I think that if there was one word that God is bringing for the conference, it's repentance. The need to search our hearts under the white hot glow of His eyes cannot be overstated. I mean, the last thing I want to hear is, well, didn't I go into prison and preach to all these people? Didn't I do this, that, the other thing? Sorry, I never knew you. Be gone from me. You know, there's something of a huge warning that God is bringing to the forefront. He said, if He's not happy, I'm not pleased with me on a personal level, I don't want to stay there. You know, so I was born to be a son of God, and I don't want to end up anything less than that. So I want to... In the midst of all we've heard, I want to encourage you. There is a remedy to your problem. Find the secret place. Search for it with all your heart. Put the things in the periphery. Everything that God puts His finger on that is not productive, get rid of it. Let it go. And begin. You know, He said, repent and do the first works, or else I will come and remove your candlestick. And if you're nervous about losing your candlestick, there's one solution to that dilemma. That's repentance, godly sorrow. Amen. And I could repent for many things. I thought I heard Chijoki say, I've offended people. I heard Bert say, I've been arrogant. You know, I can say the same thing. I've been arrogant, high-minded, pushy, bossy, condescending, insensitive, inconsistent, all of those things. But I don't want to remain there, and I'm not going to remain there. I'm going on. I asked somebody Sunday, is anybody in here afraid of me? And two or three people said, well, yes, I am. I thought, what's your problem? you know, that's not good. You know, so there's things that we have to deal with, and God is talking to us about those things. And my personal recommendation, as I am going to listen to the voice of the Master and see the things that I need to take care of within the framework of my own life and family, that we all consider an extended effort, praying without ceasing. You know, God's going to talk to us. I'm telling you, the warning. Listen, if we don't have anything else, we have the book of Jonah. Nineveh. God said, I'm destroying this whole place. You know, they went to fasting and praying. And it had to be something in the spirit that provoked the king. But do you know that they went to fasting all the way down to the animals? Have your dogs fasted ever? I mean, this is serious business. Ahab and all his mess. God said to the prophet who had prophesied to Ahab, you're toast, buddy. God said, hey, look at Ahab. See how he's walking lightly? You know, so it's not like repentance is not possible. Oh, I'm too far gone. No, let's get down to business. My recommendation is let us not lose the flavor of what we're hearing with respect to repentance and do business with God. I don't want to be complacent. I wasn't born to be complacent. I sure don't want to end up complacent. Amen.